We are in Psalm 119 again tonight, and continuing our study on the wonderful Word of God. We are, this week, we're still on Gimel, and 17 to 24. The Gimel is one of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And this is through 24. You do know there are 176 verses in Psalm 119, okay? So we've got a ways to go. You say, how in the world can you keep this exciting for that many more Sundays? Well, it's not up to me to keep it exciting. God's going to do that because it's His wonderful Word. And so do enjoy it, and I hope I am able to bring to light some interesting nuggets and notes for you, things for you to ponder, because my main goal is to get you interested in this old book again, to renew and revive and rekindle the wonder and amazement of God's Word. If you can stand with me, if you're able, in love and respect for the Word of God, we will read together verses 17 through 24, then we'll pray and continue on with the message tonight. Beginning in verse 17 of Psalm 119, reading together, deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. So the psalmist continues on. He continues on his talkings about the wonderful Word of God. In verse 23, he says, princes also did sit and speak against me. You see, sometimes we're going to have difficulty in this world. People are going to speak about us. We talked a little bit about this morning about turning our world upside down. Those men brought out people, right? Lewd fellows of the baser sort, right? And they spoke against them, but they were lies. They were lies. They said, you know, they don't follow Caesar's laws, and none of that was true. And it's funny because you go look at it, they followed them around after that. And they kicked them out of other cities that weren't even their own cities. It's like, good grief. You know, you're going to have people come against you. When you decide to toe the line, people are going to tug on it. Okay? They are. When you decide to stand for truth and right, people are going to go against you. Because they don't want to live in truth and right. They want to live according to their own truth. And their own idea of what's right. Or maybe what's right for them. Not necessarily what's right. Period. You see, people, even princes, may come against you. The psalmist says that this happened to him. That he had difficulty with others. Perhaps using things against him that were not true. And they would call that slander. It amazed me. Well, I shouldn't say amazed. It amazes me how in our world today, especially with news media and politics, that slander doesn't even matter anymore. Seemingly, these people can say whatever they want about whoever they want, and there's no repercussions to it. And it just blows my mind. It's like, you lied about this person and caused them to be disgraced. And nobody's going to hold you accountable for that? That's horrible. I think that's terrible. But anyways, that's another thing altogether. But here the psalmist says that this happened to him. And it was a negative thing. But I like what he says. He says, but.
He says, even though this happened to me, or while this was happening, or when this happened to me, or during the anguish or the negativity of this circumstance in my life, he said, I lost my spot. There it is. But thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. He had a place of solace. He had a place of quietness, a place that he could go to avoid or to get out of the way of this negative activity. And can I say something to you today? The statutes of the God, of our God, are a solace, are a refuge, are a place that we can go for help in our time of need. It is. Hey, this was real to him. And so let's look at the word meditate. To dwell on anything in thought. To contemplate. To study. To turn or revolve any subject in the mind. So think about this. In context, okay? We're just looking at this verse particularly. We'll move on to a thought here in just a moment. He says that princes also did sit and speak against me. So here, and many believe this was written by David, okay, Psalm 119. And so imagine King David, right? He's the king, right? Princes would be those under him, right? And maybe namely his sons. Now remember, not all of them were on the up and up with their father. Okay, we know Absalom turned against him, right? And other things happened. So he says here that they sit and speak against me. So there was some difficulty here. So they're sitting around speaking against the king. The king is in his spot. And he said, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. So here's the king sitting on his throne. All this noise about him, things against him, things that may or may not be true, or perhaps gossip or lies or other things that are going on, and he's not hearing any of it. He's not. He's escaped. And he says, I'm just sitting there meditating on the statutes of God. They're my solace. They're my comfort. They're my refuge. And as the noise, or to use a good English word, the din of things going on, and just the talking and the backbiting and the gossip and the nonsense and all the evil speakings of these princes, he's just thinking about God, his statutes, his word, the things that order and organize the king's life and existence. And he's taking great solace in this. You see, to meditate, he's dwelling on these things in thought. He's thinking about them and how wonderful God's statutes are. And boy, if I follow these, I'll have life and I'll have peace and I'll have blessings and I'll have the favor of God in my life. And can you see that? You know, it's always right to do right. Did you know that? It's always right to do right. Even if you get slandered because of it. Even if people come against you because of it, it's still right to do right. And there is great, great solace in doing right. And thinking right. And being right. It's just, even if nobody else agrees. You know. And God knows. You see, to meditate, to dwell on it, to think. He wasn't dwelling on what was being said about him. He was dwelling on the statutes of God. He wasn't contemplating and thinking about revolving in his mind the things that they were saying about him. He was thinking about the statutes of God. They were filling his mind and in his mind. And he was focusing on those instead of the other things. And that's how we ought to live our life.
Remember, we've said many, many times since I began preaching in this place, Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. What is it that keeps us on the right path? Meditation in God's statutes, in His ways, in His law. God says that we should meditate day and night so that we can observe to do it. Because if we don't meditate it, if we don't ponder it, if we don't roll it around in our mind and we don't dwell on it and contemplate it, how are we going to keep His statutes? We need to. The statutes of God will drown out the noise of this world. They will. You ever had a purpose? You ever had something driving you? Right? You get blinders on, right? You're focused, tunnel vision. Okay? Yeah. If all you're thinking about is following God in His Word, then you're going to be like Joshua. And you're not going to turn from it to the right hand or to the left. You're going to go right straight down the middle. Right where we're supposed to be. You're going to stay on track and stay on target. You're not going to be distracted by these other things. Psalm 1, I know we've read this before, but go over there. What a great application for this verse. Remember the princes. They're talking about the psalmist and they're going against him. Kind of sounds like this psalm. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You notice here that they're not listening to the counsel of the ungodly. They're not walking according to it. They're not standing in the way of sinners. They're not sitting in the seat. They're not giving attention to any of those things. His delight's in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. What happens to that person? They're planted. Then he shall be planted like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Wasn't Joshua told that if he meditated in God's word, that he would prosper? He would benefit? And we plant our roots down into the waters of the word of God, we'll prosper. We drown out the noise of this world with the water of the word of God. Right? You see, he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. They're not so. They're like the chaff. They're going to dry up, which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You see, when we meditate on God and His word, other things are just going to vanish away. They're going to disappear. Because what really does matter in this life? God and His word. God and His word. Go to Psalm 63, a psalm of David. We're going to look at verses 1 through 7 here in Psalm 63. A very similar thought. Focusing, meditating, dwelling on, contemplating, studying, turning and revolving a subject in the mind. Meditation. Psalm 63. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life,
My lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings I will rejoice. Doesn't that sound like someone, as in another part of Scripture says, whose mind is stayed on God? Yeah. Hey, remember in the New Testament, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are, right? Think on these things. These are the things we need to think on. These are the things we need to meditate on. Is our God in His Word. Even in times of difficulty. Or may I say, especially in times of difficulty. This is what we need to think about. Don't think about how you can get back at these people. How you can show them. Or you can justify what they're trying to say about you. Did the psalmist do any of those things? No, I don't think he did. He said that his mind was on the statutes of God. He meditated in them. Psalm 77, 11 to 12 says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Yeah, that's what will happen. Psalm 143, verses 5 and 6. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the works of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Selah. That word Selah just means meditate. Think on these things. David often uses that word as he goes through the scriptures or the Psalms and writes these Psalms to us. He says, Selah, think on these things. Meditate on this. Dwell on this. Give it some thought. Give it some time in your mind. 1 Timothy 4, we've read this verse before. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. You see, the meditation of the Word of God turns into speaking. We've already said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if you're thinking about God, you're thinking about His statutes, you're thinking about His ways and His laws and His precepts and His testimonies and all the things that God is, His wonderful works, His mighty power, His works of old, he says, remember what it said in Psalm 77? And talk of thy doings. Because what's going to be in us that whole time? God and His Word. And what's going to come out of us? God and His Word. Yeah. Listen, I really believe if the psalmist would have focused on the princes sitting there speaking evil against him and speaking these things against him, if he would have focused on that, what would have come out? Anybody? Evil against them. Yeah. But because he focused and meditated on the statutes of God, I'm going to guess that God came out of him. That he started talking about God and His statutes and His judgments. Hey, remember Job and his friends? For chapter after chapter after chapter, they tried to convince Job that he had done something wrong. That he had sinned against God. Because you know that's the only way all these bad things would have happened to Job. They just didn't know about the little conversation in heaven. They kind of missed that part. Of course, so did Job. He didn't know either. But he trusted God, didn't he? Oh, yeah. But you know what? In the end, did God bless Job? Yes. Because in all the things, he didn't sin against God. He didn't. He kept his integrity. And I think it's because Job meditated upon these things. Job followed the statutes of God. He followed the principles of God. And in his rebuttals to his friends, it was full of that, of what God had told him. I know that my Redeemer liveth, right? He said, hey, listen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what he said. Though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. You know, we've got to have that attitude. And it's only going to come from meditating on the statutes of God. Now look at verse 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight. Okay? Thy testimonies also are my delight. Delight simply is to have or take great pleasure, to be greatly pleased or rejoiced by something. What makes your clock tick? Huh? We're at Valentine's Day, right? Okay. We have this custom, I guess, of giving Valentines, right? Be mine and I love you and all this stuff. And that's wonderful. And listen, husbands and wives, I hope that you have the ability to love one another and focus on one another and have time for one another and build a relationship with one another. And even, listen, there is a pleasure or an enjoyment to being married. Okay, that's wonderful. It's what God has designed. That's great. But if I may, what makes your world go around? What makes you excited or pleasured in your life? What do you take great pleasure in? Is it God? Is it His Word? Or is it something else? Something in this world. Because you know that the things of this world do satisfy temporarily. There is pleasure associated with, the Bible even says, sin is pleasurable. Think about this. If sin wasn't pleasurable, would anybody do it? I mean, really? You understand, right? I mean, now there's some very temporal pleasure in that because you have to pay the piper, if you will. There is a result to it, and that result is death. But I wonder how much we really take pleasure or have pleasure in the testimonies of God. The psalmist said, thy testimonies also are my delight. They are the things that pleasure me most. They are the things that I rejoice in. They are the things that I take great pleasure in. And I am pleased with these things. Psalm 37, verses 3 through 5 say, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land. And verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Now, if you take note there, this is not a blank check for life. To say that, hey, if I delight myself in the Lord, and He shall give me the desires of my heart. So I'll get rich, and I'll have lots of, you know, fame and fortune, and leadership, and property, and money, and, you know, I'll have all the things I've ever wanted. Unlimited supply of donuts, you know, whatever. You know, just whatever. Travel places. I have whatever I want. Is that what it's saying? No. Because here's what happens. When our delight is in God, we take pleasure that He is pleased with us. And we take pleasure in the things that He takes pleasure in. And we desire what He desires. Because our ways and His ways line up because we are concerned with pleasing Him. We are delighting ourselves in the Lord. He says, delight thyself also in the Lord. And when we do that, when we delight in the Lord, when our pleasure and our pleasing and rejoicing is in God, then the desires of our heart come, because the desires of our heart are the desires of His heart, because they match up. You know, when it says that when two or three are gathered together in My name, that's the key. It's in His name. We're not going to ask for things amiss in His name. Isn't that what He said? You have not because you ask not, or because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Listen, someone who desires himself in the Lord isn't going to lust after things. No, because their desire is in the Lord. And then He says, furthermore, to commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. When our way is His way, then it comes true. That's how we are to think. Our delight, our pleasure, our pleasing and rejoicing is in God. Psalm 40 verse 8 says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. It's making us run. That's what drives us. That's what motivates us. The things that delight us. Do you delight to do the will of God? What is the will of God? If you love me, keep my commandments. That's the will of God. Yeah. Oh, to follow God is the will of God. To have the mind of Christ is the will of God. To keep His commandments and His statutes, to let His word be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your way. These things are the will of God. To live a holy life, a pure life, a separated life, a life after God. That's what He wants for us. He wants us to serve Him, to please Him, to honor Him, to adore Him, to delight ourselves in Him. God wants us to have singleness of heart unto the Lord. Psalm 111 verses 1 and 2 says, praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. In the assembly of the upright and in the congregation, the works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. Remember the 24 elders? Round about the throne that John saw in his vision. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. You ever wonder why we're here? Anybody ever pose that question to you? Here it is. For Thy pleasure, they are and were created. Yeah. Why are we here? To please God. To pleasure Him. We're His creation. We are not of our own. To please ourselves. We're created by Him and for Him. For His pleasure. So delight. Delight. Thy testimonies also are my delight. And then lastly, tonight, look at the rest of it. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. To advise another in regard to his future conduct and measures. One who gives advice in relation to a question of law. This is a counselor. Are the testimonies of God your counselors? Where do you get your guidance? Where do you get your advice for life? Is it from the Word of God or from your own reasoning? My friend, if you follow your own reasoning, you will be led astray. But if you follow God and His testimonies, you will not be led astray. You will have proper advice in regard to your future conduct and measures. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. I love this. I like to tell kids this all the time. Ephesians 6. We always say Ephesians 6, 1, right? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I mean, that's usually enough said, yes? But I like to go further. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Yeah. You got to go and read the Old Testament. When children did not have a right relationship with their parents to a point they maybe lifted a hand against their mom or dad, they were stoned to death. Their life was not long on this earth. Yeah. You know, when we honor God, when we allow His counsel to guide us, it may be well with us, and that we may live long on the earth. You know, God says that long life and peace shall these things be added to us if we follow His word and His counsel. Remember what the Bible says about Jesus in Isaiah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder. And His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Is the Word in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God? Is the Word your counselor? Is He the one that you turn to advise in regard to your future conduct and measures of life? Jesus is our counselor. Psalm 16, verses 7 and 8 said, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Proverbs 8, 14 says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. This, of course, is wisdom speaking. Where are we getting our counsel? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Right? Who give it to all men liberally. So we need to understand that wisdom and counsel comes from God. And we can have it. His testimonies are our counselors. Proverbs 11, 14 says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of the counselors, there is safety. What happens when we do not know our way? When we do not know which way to go or what decision to make? Who or what do we rely upon? Is it God and His Word? Is it the testimonies of God? Are they our counselors? Proverbs 12:20 says, deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil. But to the counselors of peace is joy. Psalm 73:24 says, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Go to John 16. This is probably the highlight of counsel for the believer.
John 16, this is where Jesus tells his disciples about the Holy Spirit of God. Look at John 16, beginning in verse 7. John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. And who would expect anything less from Jesus? Okay? I just had to put that in there. It is expedient for you that I go away. Now remember what the disciples thought. They said, no, Lord, we don't want you to leave. Right? For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. The Holy Spirit of God that dwells within the believer is our ultimate counselor. He's our spiritual guide. I don't know if you care to watch movies or things, but you know you have a little Jiminy Cricket on your little conscience. Okay, it's not a little character, a little angel or devil that sits on your shoulder as some movies portray. Okay, no, it's the Holy Spirit of God that lives within inside you. He lives within. He bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And he guides us into all truth. The testimonies of God are our counselors. They guide us. They direct us. They show us the conduct and measures of life that we are to live. Go to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6. You can say a lot of things about Solomon. Some positive. Some negative. But you cannot argue that he did not try to lead his son in the right direction. How many times in Proverbs do you hear, my son, my son, my son, my son? Right? I feel like that sometimes as a father. my son, listen, listen, listen. Now, look what he says in verse 20. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that kind of what the definition from Webster's Dictionary tells us? Advice in regard to future conduct and measures? For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. The counsel of the testimonies of our God. I'm just trying to say that we have from God what we need. They're to be our delight. They're to be our counselors in our life. Go back to Psalm 119. And let's just kind of summarize, since we're done with this letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word.
We live to serve. We live to serve God. We want to be dealt with bountifully and have our needs met so we can keep God's word and serve Him. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. We need our eyes opened to the things of God. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. Oh, this world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. Oh, yes. And we need to follow His commandments. We ought to obey God rather than man. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. What do you desire? What are your longings? What do you thirst for in this dry and thirsty land? Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. It's a warning. If you're proud, you err. You err of God. The proud do not regard God. They do not like to retain God in their minds. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. We know it's a joy to be reproached and contempted on Christ's behalf. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. We need to focus on Him, putting our eyes right on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We need to set our affection on things above and look to Him. Not down here of what's going on. Meditate in the statutes of God and then delight in His testimonies. And let His testimonies lead you in the way you should go. You know, we are the children of God. We do need to be led. We are the sheep of God's pasture. We need to be led by the right way and by the shepherd. I just love that verse in Isaiah that gives some of the names that Jesus was to be called, and one of them is Counselor. He is our guide. He is our stay. He is our counsel. Well, I do hope that you've been inspired to look a little bit deeper into the wonderful Word of God.